they've been somewhere. It is such a joy to be here today. It was just amazing. You know, we've been talking to Colleen and Mary for quite some time and hearing about what God has been doing and hearing about exciting. About a Lazarus house starting and hearing about God reaching out to people here in Red Deer. And it's just amazing to me to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for having us here. We've been blessed getting to spend the weekend with some of you guys and to learn together and to worship the Lord together has just been an incredible joy. And in John 10, Jesus said something amazing. He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." You think about that. What is it, what is pasture like? What is pasture? The grass is green. There's plenty to eat. You never go thirsty. There's water nearby. There's life. There's a shepherd watching over you. So he says, "I am the door." He himself is the door. There's no other way to enter into that pasture but through him. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." He didn't come just to help us survive, right? He didn't come just to help us get by and make it. He didn't come for us just to continue to walk in dysfunction and brokenness. He came to set us free and to heal us. We have an amazing God. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Isn't that good news? Are you his today? Do you know him? Does he know you? That's the most important question. Does he know you? Are you his child? In the book of Isaiah, when Jesus was walking on the earth, and he went into a synagogue, and he opened up a scroll, and he turned to the book of Isaiah, and he turned to this part of Isaiah that I'm about to read. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." It's hard to get through this one. "The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." That he may be glorified. Did you know he doesn't do this just for us, right? He does it for his name's sake, for his glory, for his righteousness, for his will on this earth. He transforms human lives, and he then uses our lives to bring glory to himself, to see other people come to know him. He's an amazing God. We are part of Royal Heights Baptist Church in Surrey. It's actually in Delta, which is right next to Surrey. And we've been a part of something called Celebrating Life. And Celebrating Life is Jesus. He is the life. He is eternal life. It is everything in him. And there is this abundance in that life. And it does not mean that there are not issues, that there's not circumstances that happen. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. And so in him, there is this joy and this solid foundation that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what waves come, no matter what circumstances there are, that we stand. And we stand firm, founded on the rock who is Christ. That he has done something amazingly astounding in him, amazingly astounding in us. When we're his, we've got to make sure that we're his. Have you surrendered your life fully to him, your whole heart to him? Do you know that you know that you know that you're his, that you belong to him? If you belong to him, you have this life, and you have it forever. No one can snatch you out of his hand. Now you will learn and grow and love him. And since Celebrating Life, we focus in on discipleship. And discipleship means learning from God. You're learning from his word. And we focus in to know him, to know his word, to know who we really are in him, to realize what he's really done, and to believe him. So the walk of abundant life is by faith alone, is to believe God, to believe him, not to try to live a good life, not to just come to church. But it's good to come to church. But it's not about just coming to a meeting. It's about meeting God and coming to meet God, coming to worship God as we have been this morning. It's about him. Right? It's not just about reading the Bible and I got to read the Bible. It's about reading the Bible to know him. It's not about trying to do good works because then I'll feel good about myself that I did something good. It's about doing good works that he is leading you to do and he does through you, and then they have eternal value and they last forever. They never fade. They never perish. They will never be burned up. There will be a reward in heaven for you through what God has done through your life. You can't touch it. Because you know that you know it's not you, but it's him through you. And then when he touches someone else's life and he calls them to himself, you know it's him. How can you plan that? On your very, very best day, you know, could you ever plan that? You could not plan that, you know. He just does it. He does stuff that is just so astoundingly, amazingly beautiful. And we get to be a part of it. So I am really excited, and I'm excited about what God has been doing here. I'm excited about your Lazarus house. We have a Lazarus house too, and it's a place where people come to know God. It's not a program. It's about knowing God. It's a house of people who want to know God. And so we provide the environment to say, okay, let's know God, and let's focus in, and let's focus in, and let's focus in on truth, and let's know him. Because once we know him, what will happen in our lives? We will stand, right? We will stand. And we will not need a Lazarus house, but we can go to Lazarus house and we can reach out to people in Lazarus house, but we won't need to be there. At first, we might need help. But then as we grow, we stand firm and we need God. And then we can give that same love to other people that he has brought us around. So that's, we're part of that. And just as you guys were a part of that. And we've been able to journey together with you some, with Colleen and Mary, and they came out and visited us out there, and we got to meet them and got to spend time together. And they came out and saw Lazarus' house, and we brought a couple guys with me from Surrey, and I want you to hear from them, Stefan and Shane. Shane is the leader of Lazarus' house now. Stefan has been leading the leaders of our houses. We have three of them. We have Alabaster Jar for women. We have Lazarus House and Timothy House. And we had Nehemiah, but we're kind of changing it a little bit. So we have three houses now. And so I want you to hear from these guys. Shane, if you would come.
Hey. Good morning, everyone. God is good. Wow. This has been a really awesome weekend. just being here. I'm so blessed and encouraged. It's just unbelievable how good God is and how he takes someone broken and desperate and destitute and, you know, rebirths them and makes them new and righteous and holy. This wasn't always this. This is God. This is the Lord. Two years ago, I was at the end of the end. I was a drug dealer, a drug user, on the street, destitute, broken, no one around, no family. Because if you did come anywhere near me, I would hurt you. I would use you. You would end up, you know, hurt in some way. And so I found my, well, the Lord brought me to a place where I just said, God, there is no hope without you. There's nothing I can do. I've tried recovery. I've tried AA. I've tried NA. I've tried nothing. I've tried everything. Lord, if there is any life, it's in you. It's got to be you. And these were my thoughts, although they're not my thoughts. They were the Lord's. I can see that now, but... And so I went to a place called Miracle Valley, and I gave my life to the Lord. And within that first week, I led another brother, Travis, to the Lord. I mean, not knowing anything, really, just that, you know, just like Rick today, that the Lord had done something amazing and beautiful inside me. And I just said at that point, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to learn to love you. I wanted to know who I am in Christ. And fortunately, the Lord had moved through the hearts and minds of people like Nancy and Pastor John at Royal Heights Baptist Church, and they had opened the Lazarus House, a place for people like me who God has called and birthed into his kingdom to learn who I am in Christ and to love him and love others and be who I am in Christ, right? And so that's where I've been the last 2 years, and it's just been awesome and amazing. You know, there's been ups and downs, but I'm free. The Lord has freed me. Like nothing that I have done or worked for or did, but because he authored my faith and called me from darkness into light, told me, you know, Shane, I love you. I died for you. This is who you are now. This is who you are. Be who you are. And so I've been taught and discipled, and the Lord has shown himself to me, and I'm continuing to grow, and now I'm leading the house and walking with others, teaching them who they are in Christ, you know, as far as I, to the maturity level that I'm at. And it's just amazing to see what the Lord, who he is, and what he's done, and what he does. This place is on fire. Amen. Wow. That's really good. We had just a beautiful weekend worshiping, and you know, we came to encourage, right? And I'm going to speak for all of us. We are encouraged. You know, the Lord is doing what he does. And he invites us. He invites us to be a part of that. He calls us and he invites us. And, you know, we accept that invitation and he draws us into relationship with him. And we're forever connected, you know. There's two identities. There's a part from the Lord, you know, a sinner, right? That's who I was. And there's a saint, a righteous being, a holy one set apart, sanctified, and made righteous for him, by him, you know, for his kingdom. And I'm so happy to be a part of that. So happy to be here, worshiping and praising the Lord. So thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, God.
Thanks. Hi, everybody. My name's Stefan. Hi. Yeah, it's all about him, eh? It's so awesome. Me too. It's on fire, that's for sure. Yeah. Being who he's made me now has made me want to worship him, want to. I get to read the Bible. I get to know him. I want to do that. It's like there's a pull, like he was saying, he authored my faith, and now I'm drawn to want to live his ways. And what are his ways, right? Love. I'm drawn to love. Now, instead of trying to self-destruct like I used to, like before I was 35 years on the streets doing needles and the whole works, right? I was like gone, pathetic. It was like beyond repair. They even had to intervene, the government, like they had me on camera and everything. And this guy, they're trying to help me, right? Government, all these systems, right? AA, these government treatment centers and all this stuff. Nothing worked, right? Only him. He could only do that, right? Yeah. There was nothing of my effort. All I did was ask him to help me. And even trying to do things my way, he puts a stop on me and he shows me the right way and I get to do it, right? And then when I experience it, it becomes a truth, right? Because it feels right. That's what happens. He gave me a new heart that wants to love him, right? That loves righteousness, right? And so when I experience his righteousness, it becomes a truth in me. And then I grow, right? And now that's what it is, the process. I got to learn who I am now, right? What he's done in me. And his power, his gospel, his ways. I get to learn what it is. Now I get to go live it. It's just been a blessing, right? Like waking up to joy all the time. The joy of the morning oil. Joy is your morning oil. It's like peace, right? When there's stress is coming at you, right? Oh, yeah, right. God's in charge. Peace, right? Instant peace, right? I focus on God and peace, right? And so like Nancy was saying, right? We become... learners, right, of his ways, right? And then it's just an amazing system God has, right? He loves us very much, and he's got like our ways of doing things on the planet has shown us that we can't do it, right? We're destroying each other, we're selfish, self-centered, and all this stuff, right? And his ways are about love, right? And what better way to live, right? Loving your brothers, right? They love you back. You love. It's that one big happy family, right? So, it's just there's so many things I can say. I don't have much time, but I just want to thank you, God. You're just so amazing to us, and I'm forever grateful. Thank you. Amen.
We've had the privilege of seeing God transform lives. It's amazing. And just like you're seeing here, we're seeing also in Surrey, we're seeing prostitutes become godly women who are shining and glowing with the love of Christ. We have seen drug addicts who are no longer drug addicts and are new creations in Christ that are free from everything. We have seen people who have had mental illness be completely set free and free of all addictions, free of all medicines, free of everything because of Jesus Christ. It takes complete surrender to him with your whole heart. It's not something we can try to achieve. It's something that he does. He's the one who sets the captives free. He's the one who binds up the broken. And when he binds us up, we are fixed. We are no longer broken. We are no longer messed up. We are no longer filthy and dirty and all that we were. We have been made new and we are now clean. And we are 100% clean because of the blood of Jesus Christ that he has done it. And so our work now as a believer is to believe God. to totally accept what he has done, to believe him and force our minds to rest in what is really true and to hang on to that truth and to walk in that truth. And as we do that, the experience we have is joy and power, and God uses our lives to do really cool things through us, right? He gives us the opportunity to talk to people about him, and then he speaks to them. And we just go, whoa, God, that is so neat, you know, that you did that. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, that you would use my life for eternal things, eternal value, eternal things that will never go away. God, thank you, because we used to live lives only to ourselves and stuff that always perishes, working for stuff, working for houses, working for everything that we think that we need that will give us significance or value, and none of it satisfies, not even one thing. And so then we numb ourselves and we take drugs and we do stuff to ourselves and we're trying to find something that we think we can never really have. And when we get to the point where we surrender our lives fully and completely, say, God, I have sinned against you and I have turned away from you and I have lived a life of selfishness and I turn to you and I put my full trust in you, he transforms our lives completely and he makes us new. What a good and amazing God we have. I just want to thank you guys for having us here. Thank you that we can be a part of what you're doing. And so grateful to see what God is doing here in Red Deer.
Praise God. And God is doing great things in Red Deer. God's doing great things in Surrey. The Spirit of the Lord is moving, you know, throughout the land. We've been praying, like lots of churches, like lots of Christians, for revival and for the power of the Spirit to change and for that gospel message to just to penetrate stubborn hearts. Today we're just celebrating what God's doing, and we need to do that. We just heard some great things what happened this weekend, and to hear Rick's testimony, man, that just that's living, like she says, you know, on your very best day. You know, you can't orchestrate this stuff. You can't make it happen. You can't, only God can do this. Only God can do this. And then Shane stands up here and he goes, I didn't always look this good. I don't think he quite meant it like that, but praise God. Oh, God, I just want to give you glory today, and I don't want to miss out on what you're doing, Lord. I know you're changing, you know, what's going on. And I just want to let you know a couple things that last week we prayed. Remember those young kids came from the back and we prayed for those two, there were two or three that were lost, that they couldn't find some friends, and one of them was really in big trouble. Well, I heard from one of them this week that almost immediately all those who were lost were found. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And one of them was in a ditch, one of them was hurt, but okay, everything's all right. And the young man who stood here, I forget his name, but I think his name was Nathan, but he said, I just want to give God all the glory. And he says, I can't believe that prayer works this good. Amen. Some of you might remember, about 6 weeks ago, I was preaching and I was walking around like I usually do, and there was a noise that was kind of coming from the back corner there, just that back corner there where Vernice is sitting. And there was a lady who was just sobbing and was crying. And she's talking to someone who was sitting next to her. And I just stopped. And I said, okay, I'm just going to walk up to her. So I did. And I walked up to her. And I just said, what do you need? What do you need from God? And she said, and I won't tell you her story. She can tell her own story, but you know, she basically said, I want to change the life I've been living. I want to change, my life is broken and everything about it is ruined. And I've done so many things that you can't even imagine. I don't even know what love is. I remember her saying that. And almost spontaneously, I guess there's 30 or 40 people that stood up and everyone gave her a big hug. Does anyone remember that? Yeah?
Thank you,
Jesus. Yeah. You can't go nowhere. You got to come here. All right, family. I want you to meet Robin.
Hi.
How's Robin?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no desire to drink. He does nothing.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's so good. It's such an encouragement for me. It's so encouraging. I saw you this weekend. You know, you just think about how God works. And she came to try to find me. And most of you know that's almost an impossible thing to do. You got to chase after me. But she was at the cafe, and she thought, well, he must be here sometime. Well, I'm only there maybe twice a week, and not for very long. And there she was, and we had a chance, very brief chance. But that just has been such an encouragement for me, Robin, and I'm so glad for what God's doing in your life. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, God. Yeah, I'm the most inaccessible pastor around. I'm sorry about that. God bless you. And you know, I guess I got to say this, that this happens because of one thing, and that's love. That's the only reason. And that there's that kind of love here that people just spontaneously stand up and say, well, we're going to hug you. We don't care if you were a prostitute. We don't care if you've done drugs. We don't care how broken you've been. You are part of us. This is family. And you know what? We've all been broken before. We're all strugglers. We're all people who have hurt. There isn't anyone who's righteous. If you are righteous, you should go to a different church because you're in the wrong place, right? This is a place for people who have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what, God, when God looks at our sin, he never does this. He never goes, well, Don's doing really good, you know, but you know, Stefan, he's not doing very good. God doesn't, he looks at us and he says, my blood has covered you. It just doesn't matter. Mitchell, it doesn't matter. It's covered you. It's so sufficient. My blood is so sufficient that just one drop of it will make you completely clean. And it doesn't matter what road you've been on or how bad you've been or what your record is. It just doesn't matter because Jesus came to save the lost, of which we all are part of. Thank you, God, this week that rain is doing well. Kim, you want to give us just a brief story of what's going on there? Thank you, God. Amen. Yep. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good words. Yeah, we pray. We keep praying. It's amazing. It's amazing when God's people pray. What happens? Scotty? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. We are celebrating what God's doing, and He's real, and He just does so much. I don't know if you want to say something or not. You don't need to, because I know I'm throwing this at you. But if I just got you in my heart, Teresa, if you want to say what God's doing in your life or you want to wait for another time, that's fine. You've got to stand up, though. We've got to hear you. This is too important. So. Praise God. Love you. You know, I really don't mean to put people on the spot. I know I do it all the time. But there's something powerful about saying something out loud. It really is. There's something about confessing it and saying, I am a Christian, like Rick says. And like, I have fallen, but I'm back and the walls are down and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus, and that my life is clean and it's going to stay clean. And so I know sometimes I'm putting you on the spot, and you can say no. You can say, oh, just go away, Pastor. I don't go away very well, but I will go away. Thank you, God. You know, God's moving. God is doing things. He's changing lives. There's healings. We've had a number of healings. We've been celebrating that over the last couple months, and we've been talking about healing and how, you know, He is a healing God. He's the same Jesus who walked on the earth. He's the same Jesus who walks among us and who walks in us, and He touches people and He heals them. And that just brings me to mind that we need to pray for you. Is that okay if we do that right now? Come on up here. I'm sorry. I know I'm just all over the map this morning, but that's just too bad. So Mitch, maybe, and Doug, and yeah, I just need a couple guys to help. And you need prayer for your liver. And I understand your liver's been bleeding. Is that correct?
Red came up.
So. Yeah, okay. That's good. Good. I mean, it's not good, but we're going to deal with that, right? And thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, God. That's right. The man of God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, right now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just believe this, God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yes. Man. Man. Mm-hmm. Man, this is a man of God, Lord. This is a man of God, and I want to pray for him too. And we join our faith together right now. You're the one who says in your word that if we only believe, we'll see the glory of God. So we want to see the glory of God as you work it out in this man's life, Lord. And we pray for his life. Lord, I pray for wholeness. I pray for healing. God, we would just say to you that today that we need this man. We need him alive. We need him well. We need him healthy. And God, for all those years on the streets and all the damage that was done to his body, remove it from him right now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Because you promised that you not only restore our spirit and our soul, but you will restore our body as well. And so God, we plead for him because of the ministry that he has and because of the lives that he will change, Lord. You'll change through him. And because of the testimony, God, of what you're doing in his life. So for Stefan, I just pray for him right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will touch him, that you will heal him, and that he will be able to work and to function well, Lord, in every way, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, bro. Amen. Thank you, God. Okay. I know there's more. We'll do more. But there's a word of God we need to hear today, too, and I really believe that. And God is just changing things for me this morning. So this is going to be a little bit fresh, a little bit off the cuff, and you don't even know this yet, but you're going to help. So come on up here. You're going to stand over here. Where's that microphone? You're going to need it. The story of Lazarus. You told it a bit on Friday night, and if we could, can we tag team a little bit here today? So we'll do like the wrestlers do, but there'll be no jumping off the top. We're going to look just briefly this morning, because I believe that there may be a few people here today. You're here for this very reason. You're here because it's time to get out of the tomb, and it's time to get clean, and there's an opportunity. You've heard it all through the service, and we would miss it if we didn't take advantage of it. That this Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead is the same Jesus who calls you to come out of the grave, to come out of that oldness. And you told the story. So if you do it again, just tell the story. Let people know what happened in that story. And just like you did on Friday, you know, what happened there. Because it's Lazarus' house, right?
So. Right. And this is why it's Lazarus' house, right? The story begins with Jesus is a long ways off. He's a long ways away, and Lazarus is sick, and Lazarus is a dear friend of Jesus's, and Jesus loves Lazarus. He loves his sister Mary and Martha, and friends of theirs come because Lazarus is sick, and he's very, very sick, and they come to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, will you come? Because if you come, you can heal Lazarus, and he will be well. But Jesus did not come. Why didn't he come? Why didn't Jesus come? Jesus was listening to the Father. He was listening to the Spirit of God. And God is saying, no, you need to wait. Yeah, but my friend is dying. There's something happening. The Father said to wait. So Jesus is listening to the will of the Father. He only did what the Father said to do. He only said what the Father said to say. And he waited. And so Lazarus died. And Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. And people were wailing and crying, and they went through the death of Lazarus. They went through the burial of Lazarus, and they are weeping and wailing and in great pain. And so Jesus shows up on the scene. And Martha comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, if you had come, my brother would not have died. And then Mary comes out and says, Jesus, if you had come, my brother would not have died. You can hear almost the cry through the words of, why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? You could have healed him. You could have healed him. Why did you not come? And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, I will do more than you can even imagine, that you will see the glory of God. Martha, will you believe? I believe. I know that there's a resurrection. But she did not understand the fullness of what he was saying. And so Jesus said, show me where you laid him. And so they walked over the tomb, and Jesus wept. And then he said, roll the stone back. And Martha said, No, Lord, you know, you can't roll the stone back. He's been dead for 4 days, and there's going to be a smell, you know. He's dead. And he said, Martha, didn't I ask you to believe? Yeah. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Mm. Okay, Lord, okay. She asked people to roll the stone back. And then Jesus stood before the tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come out. And so out comes Lazarus, and he's walking out, and he is wrapped in grave clothes. But he was fully alive, fully alive. He had been fully dead for 4 days. In the Jewish custom, 4 days is like dead, dead. I mean, it's like you are dead. I mean, 3 days, you're dead, but maybe there's a chance of something to happen, but the fourth day, there's no way. And so God waited till the fourth day. What a symbol for Jewish culture, right? God in his sovereignty knew exactly what was needed, and Jesus listened to the Father in precision that God would be glorified maximally. And so Lazarus came out, and he was fully alive, and then Jesus told the people, now unbind him, unwrap him. And so Jesus, when he calls us, and he calls us out of death, before we know God, we are dead in our trespass and sin. There is no life in us. We are disconnected from the life of God. We are unrighteous and unholy beings. There's nothing good in us. Nothing that we can say, oh God, would you look at me and save me because of my goodness. He says there's nothing good. There's no one good, not even one. Mm-hmm. Not even one. Well, what about my neighbor, God? They seem pretty good. They look pretty good. They're like doing nice things and they seem so nice. And he says not even one is good. All are unrighteous. All of your righteousnesses are filthy rags to me. I don't accept them. He says, you must be born again. You must come to me that I have defeated the power of sin and death, and you must come to me. Through me, you enter into new life. And when we enter into new life, we are fully alive, righteous in Christ, that our spirit has been made new and righteous in Christ, and we are sealed by him.
Right.
And now he's beginning an unwrapping process. That the grave clothes of Lazarus, was Lazarus alive? Did he need to become more alive somehow? No. But he was in grave clothes, and they were wrapped around his eyes even, right? All around him was like a mummy. He had to be unwrapped, and other people helped in that process.
Yeah.
And so discipleship is very much that way, that we are fully alive in Christ. When he has made you new, you are new.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sort of new. You're not partially new. You're not like trying to be new. You are new.
That's right.
You're not trying to be righteous. You've been made righteous by Christ. And now he's saying you're going to walk this thing out to be who you really are, to be the righteous being that you are, because I have made you that way. Well, yeah, but I don't feel it, God, and my thoughts are going against that. Yeah, I know. I'm going to now transform your thinking. And I'm going to bring your thinking in line with what is actually true and what has occurred inside of you. And so you will live as a righteous being on this earth. It's a supernatural reality, the power of God, of a transformed life. And so he begins to grow us, and he puts his spirit inside of us, and now he causes us to obey his commandments. He's put his law inside of us when we come to Christ. So no longer is the law over us, saying, okay, don't do this and don't do that. The law is inside of us, and we want to do righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We hunger and thirst for righteousness. We seek him and we love him with our whole heart and our whole soul and all that we are. That's the reality of what he's done.
That's right.
So he's calling us now to believe that what he has done, he has actually done, that it's
Amen.
True. Do you know that you're new?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Christ, do you know it? Do you know that you know it? How will you know if you know it? Because you live it.
Yeah.
If you're not living it, you don't yet understand that fully. If you're Christ, if you belong to him and his spirit is in you, you are new. That's the truth. If you're not living in that newness of life, you don't believe that yet fully. It's true because he did it. And so our job now is to believe him. So now we eat the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We eat it as our food. Not because we have to. Not because someone says you need to read your Bible and you need to read it 5 minutes a day or an hour a day or 6 hours a day. Or you read it because it's life to you and you hunger and thirst for his word. You want to know him. That's who you really are. And as you read the word, he teaches you through his spirit that is in you. And he reveals his word to you, and he shows you things. And he reveals areas in your thinking that he needs to transform. Mm-hmm. That he's saying, no, 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 you're not believing me. How do I know? Because you're not functioning in that area yet. So I'm going to take it over with truth, and I'm going to guide you through my word, and I'm going to bring sermons to you, and I'm going to bring movie to you or a song to you, and I'm going to teach you my ways through my spirit in you. So we don't have to strive to learn. We don't have to strive and try to change. We must know God, and he will change us, and he will grow us, and we will begin to live completely different life.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every day, right? Every moment of the day, God is speaking to us. We're his. There's nothing we have to do to try to become more righteous than we already are. Because of his gift of righteousness, that he has made us righteous in Christ. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to add to it. All we can do is accept it and say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, because I know what I was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I was lost.
Yeah.
And now I'm found. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I was broken, and now I've been healed.
Yeah.
I was in darkness, and now I am in light. And you have said that I am light in the Lord, that I am light. My very nature is light. I am accepted now. Before I was condemned. There's no condemnation in Christ. So I've been accepted by God, chosen by him. I mean, think about that. He wants you. Have you ever been rejected by anybody?
Hmm.
By a parent, by a loved one, by a friend? He wants you. He has chosen you. He called you out by name since before the foundation of the earth. He knew you. He knew you by name, and he is your God.
Yes.
He loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And he made you righteous in Christ, and he is now going to work out this righteousness through you. He is going to transform your thinking. He's going to grow you up so that you begin to walk in that to where you look like someone like Stefan. You know, I saw Stefan when he came into Lazarus' house. And he is my brother in Christ. He's a godly man,
yeah.
A godly brother in Christ. And I love him. I am so grateful for what God has done. Shane,
yeah.
You know, he stands up and says, I didn't used to look like it's true. And there is joy, and God is working through these men in ways they know they can't touch it. But God is using their lives and influencing the lives of others around them wherever they go. They're watching for the activity of God because God is actively seeking out the lost through these men's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just in Sycamuse. I think I got the name finally. The car broke down on the way here, right? And so we had a steering issue, and the steering stopped right in front of a Tim Hortons, which was great. And right next to a Best Western. And we're like, okay, let's stop. So then Stefan's like, well, I need chips. And so then he goes to the store, and he's looking for chips. And then he meets someone at the store who needs to hear about the Lord and hear the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we break down in Sycamuse? I don't know. You know? I think it was for that man.
That's right.
You know? And God is gracious,
yes.
Right? He seeks us out. Why did we end up over here at this retreat site? You know, Mary had been looking for a retreat site, and we had been searching for a time and a day when God would bring us out here, and we didn't know when we would come. And yet that day was chosen, and that retreat site was chosen, and God brought it together, and somehow God was working in Rick's life. And I didn't know Rick. This morning, I saw Rick. And I said, wow, God is working with this man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something really going on here. Does he know the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Does he know that he knows that he knows that he's known by God? And so we sat down and began to talk and began to draw out the gospel, a picture to see what God has actually done and how he makes a person righteous in Christ, how he takes all of our sin away. Do you know that? That in Christ, when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, all of your sin is taken away. All of it. From the moment you're born until the day that you die, it's done. All of it. All of it. You are forgiven. It's done.
Thank
His
you,
death
God.
Is sufficient for you. His life is sufficient for you. It's done. It's done. Such grace of God. There's nothing we could do to earn it. There's nothing we could do to try to get it. We've been given it as a gift, and it's done.
Yes.
It's complete. And so if we really, truly believe that, how would we live? Mm. What would you feel? Yeah. Love. What would be the attitude of your heart? Love. Thankfulness. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you, God. We were listening to a song on the way up here, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And we are all just going, oh. I mean, we turned it on. You know, I just turned on the CD and it happened to be on that song. It was just amazingly beautiful. You saved a wretch like me. I'm no longer a wretch.
Yeah.
I am sanctified, righteous being, holy, new creation, entered into a new humanity that God has made, where He's broken down the dividing wall of all people. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter if we come out of addictions or prostitution or whatever it is that we have come from. Mm. He has made us new and one humanity in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. Yeah. I don't want you to feel bad about using all the good material either. That was awesome. That was really awesome. I do want to read just a few verses from John 11, and then I got a couple things to say. It won't be long. John 11, and just hear what Jesus says here. It's such a, I mean, it just really felt like God was just saying, this is what we got to do today. And so here, verse 38, Jesus, you can just listen. Jesus once more was deeply moved, and he came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, just as Nancy told us, by this time, there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man, I like this line, the dead man came out. His hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. You say amen? I'm just going to say a couple things, because you know what? There's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason why I'm here today. It was important for us to hear these different testimonies. It was important for us to be encouraged and to be reminded that God's a God who's alive and He moves and He changes and He takes people out of darkness and He brings them into light. He takes people out of addiction and He sets them free. He frees us from our greed and from our anger. It's not just addiction. Sometimes we focus on that too much. He takes us, you know, whatever it is that's in ourselves. And we got to get out of that tomb. We got to get out of that deadness and we got to start walking in newness of life. We've got to start walking in newness of life, and I need you to help me to do that. I really do. And you need me, you know. We need each other. We need each other to help us walk in newness of life. We need to model Christ for each other. We need to show each other, here, look, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. This is what it looks like to love my neighbor. This is what it looks like to really live a life that's free. Amen? So just a couple quick thoughts. First of all, just what you said about, you know, this is 4 days of decay. 4 days, and by now, like Martha said, the body's got to be stinking. God, you know, Jesus, don't pull the stone away because this is not a good time to do that. And if there's anybody who's not savable or not healable, it had to be Lazarus. And I just want to make a quick point that, you know, that might be you too. You might think the same thing. You might think, you may be sitting here and you're hearing some of these stories and you're going, well, that's good for that guy, but you have no idea how bad I stink. it's been a long time, you know. And if I roll that stone away, if I dare to uncover what's going on in my life, if I dare to be vulnerable, if I dare to get clean with God, there's going to be a whole lot of smell happening, a whole lot of stink. There's a lot of sin in my life. And I want you to listen to this today, that Jesus says it doesn't matter. You don't need to worry about it because he can take care of it. And he calls even the smelliest of sinners. Even the smelliest of sinners, he calls them to come out. So if today you're hearing Jesus calling you and saying your name and saying it's time for you to come to me, don't worry about how bad you smell or how dirty you are or how black your heart might be. He can make it clean. Amen? Amen. Well, I want you to notice another thing that happens in this story. And I think it's a very telling thing. Is that Jesus, when the stone is removed, he stands at the entrance. It's pretty interesting. He stands at the entrance and he goes, "Lazarus, come on out." What he doesn't do is he doesn't storm into the tomb and grab Lazarus and shake him and start undressing the wounds and how he's bound up. He doesn't go in. He doesn't go find Lazarus. He doesn't get him on his feet. Here's what Jesus does. He calls out. He says, "Come to me. Come on out. It's time that you get out of that tomb." And it's just exactly what he does today. He stands and he calls. He says, "Come to me. I want you to come to me. It's time that you get off of your deathbed. It's time that you get that grave cloth off of you. It's time that you come to me, but I will never make you come to me. I will never grab you and force you to get out of there. If you choose to stay there, if you choose to stay in that grave, if you choose to remain in that tomb, you can do so. But I'm calling you even today. Come. Come on out," he's saying. "Just come on out. I'm waiting for you." What does Jesus say in Revelation? He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." Sometimes we want him to kick the door in. We want him to do more than that. We want him to grab us and pick us up. But he's given you faith. You need to respond in faith, even today. You need to respond in faith. Jesus doesn't do it all for you. He's done it on the cross. All of it's been done on the cross. But there's a choice. There is a choice that you need to make. There's a choice that I've had to make in my life. And that choice is to come to Jesus. He's calling your name. He's asking you to come to him. And then just a last quick point. I want you to know that we're going to have a prayer in a few minutes. And if you want to come forward and it's time to make that change in your life, we're going to have that opportunity at the end of the service. But just one more point. And that's for the rest of us, though, who are sitting here. And I think it's really telling that what Jesus says is, he says to all the rest of them, is the way Luke tells us, "You take off his grave clothes." Isn't that something? Let me say that again, just so you don't miss it. That Jesus said to the whole community, to the body of people that were there, he said to them, not just to Lazarus. He doesn't say to Lazarus, "Okay, Lazarus, take off your grave clothes." No, he says to them, "Now you take off the grave clothes." That Jesus doesn't go into the grave and unwrap the guy. I mean, you just imagine, here's Lazarus. I don't know how he did that. He's coming out of the grave. We're told that his feet were bound and his head was bound. Or maybe he's doing this. I don't know how he's getting out of there. But here's what God's word says. It says that the rest of us have a responsibility. The rest of us own each other and belong to each other to such a degree that we're going to be there to help take off that addiction and to remove that layer of anger and maybe that layer of arrogance or that layer of whatever it is, that we have that responsibility. One towards the other. That we are to help each other to get out of there. We're to help each other to be set free. To be completely set free. And we're set free through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So here it is. You know, you've heard lots of stuff today and it's been a great service. And I know that lots of us are already believers. We're Christians. You've given your heart to the Lord. But I really believe that God wants me to ask you today, if there's anyone here at all, and you just know that God's been speaking to you, and he's offering you a gift, really. That's what salvation is. He's offering you a gift and he's saying, come to me. Come on out. Come out of that grave. The stone. Listen to me. The stone has been rolled away. Today is the day that you come out of the grave. I want to give you that opportunity to receive the gift that Jesus Christ, not me, but that Jesus is offering to you today. I know that's hard, and I know it takes guts to stand up and say, okay, I want to take that. But I want to ask you right now, and I say this often, we don't have an organ playing, and there's not going to be, not everyone's going to bow their heads and close their eyes, and we don't do that. You either, if you can't stand up today, if you can't stand up and say, I want Jesus in my heart, thank you. Then you're not ready. Thank you. Wow, praise God. Anyone else, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, praise God. Wow. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just stay standing. Listen, God is saying, I'm calling you out of darkness. No more darkness. No more cave. No more tomb. You are done with the tomb. You are done with that life where there's no freedom. You are done with it. I've come to save you. I've come to seek and save the lost. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I love you so much that I just want you to belong to me and I want you to know me. Today is the beginning of that, all right? Why don't you guys come to the front? You know, I don't care if you're afraid. Come to the front. Because if you can't do this, tomorrow's going to be a harder day. This is just one day. Come on up. And maybe some of our leadership team can come up. We need to pray for people here. We need to minister to people. Hello, Shannon. It's good to see you. God is good. We need some people standing around. Mitch and Jill and Melanie, Len. Amen. Ricky, would you come? Thank you, God. Al, would you get ready on the piano with that Word of God song? Thank you, God. Let's just pray. A few of us are going to pray right now, but I'm going to ask all of you, first of all, just to say after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart, and I receive the gift you give me of eternal life. Forgive my past. Forgive all of my sins. And I declare today that I belong to Jesus Christ. And I want to know you better every day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We worship you, King. We worship you, King. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah.
They're rejoicing for these people. Lord, just touch each one, Lord.
Jesus.
Over each one, Lord.
Hallelujah. Children of God.
Lord, by the blood, you will cleanse your soul and you will give you a new heart.
Thank you.
And every tear you shed, that's the washing of your soul. When you move, thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We exalt you. We honor you.
That's God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Amen. Krista, would you pray? Yes, God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Yeah. They are acquitted. Acquitted by the blood of Jesus. Yeah.
Lord, show us, Lord, show us.
Jesus, man. Amen. Len, would you pray? Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yeah. Yes, God. Mm. Yes. Mm. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Jill, would you pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to come into these people right now?
Father, we just thank you now for the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Father, mm-hmm. it's the Holy Spirit that gives us mm-hmm. power to share your word, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come upon
Jesus,
them now.
Praise
Jesus,
praise
you. Jesus, name my Father. Amen. Lord, that you would give them power and authority to come against the powers of darkness and through them that many, many, many would come to life.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, you touch them, you anoint them, you empower them, you glorify yourself in them now, my Father. And we thank you now. We pray expectantly. We know that you are always faithful in Jesus' name. Glory.
Glory to God. Amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to, just before we have this last song, I want you to know we're going to have a baptism service at the end of August or the first week in September. I want you to think about being part of that baptism service. Al, you want to lead us in a song? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Why don't you stand? May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you. May God give you His peace. Amen.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you might say. The word of God speak, was poured out my praise, washing my eyes to see your majesty. The beast you ain't know, but you're in this place. Please let me stay to rest in your holiness, where it does be. I'm finding myself in the midst of you. Beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, in your voice, the word of God, with the pour down my praise, washing my eyes to see. The beast still ain't know, but you're in this place. Please let me stay to rest in your holiness, where God
God's me.
today. Amen. Amen. Power of the Holy Spirit, my mom. Okay. Wow. All the glory to you, Papa. All the glory. All the glory. Hallelujah. Being on stage and looking down and seeing your, the body of Christ. How beautiful. How beautiful. Amen.
You gotta learn who you are.